Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Well, the world watches as Britain's vote on the EU membership takes place today after a very, very tight campaign. It seems that they're not quite sure how this thing is going to go. Some news items are saying that it's balancing, teetering on a knife blade. That's the way that they worded it in one of the articles. What I'm referring to is something called Brexit. This is the possible exit of Britain from the EU. And there's a film out that has been out, I think, for it's been months that it's been out. Let me put it that way. I think it was originally first published in May. And the film was called Brexit the Movie, and the full film is, over an hour long in length, but the beginning part of it just kind of sets the stage. Now, this is pro-leaving, you know, so this is a film put out by those that want to leave the EU, who feel that being in the EU is giving away their ability to govern. And let me just let you hear the opening part of this, the first couple minutes of it, kind of play like a trailer for the film. And so this will just give you an idea, at least on this part, on this side of the argument, what those folks are saying. By the way, this film has received 1,561,000 downloads. So it's obviously been viewed many, many times, and there's a lot of interest in it. Let me let you hear the opening part.
We, the people, are being cajoled, frightened, and bullied into surrendering our democracy and freedom. This film is a rallying cry. We must fight for our independence, for the right to determine ourselves, the laws under which we live, and for the freedom to shape our own future.
This is the most important voting decision that any of us is going to make in our lifetime. With general elections, it doesn't really matter who you vote for, Conservative or Labour, because you know that in 4 years' time, you can change your mind. This time, you can't change your mind. This time is for keeps.
In this film, we'll see how the EU works.
It's like heaven for the politician or bureaucrat, because it's power without accountability.
It was devised to make sure that the great mass of the people could not control government ever again.
The EU is turning into a dictatorship, and this is not overstating it.
We will see what the EU has done to Britain.
The EU has just obliterated the English fishing industry altogether.
The European policies that we face are really the single biggest threat to our competitiveness.
We'll see why Fortress Europe has been such a calamity for the European economy.
What we see is the EU bringing up the drawbridge.
The European Union has become an economic basket case.
Certainly, it is not in our economic interests to remain within the European Union. No way.
We will look at the risks of tying our fate to the failing EU.
Extremism at both ends is being fostered by the anti-democratic nature of the European Union.
Far from being it safer for us to be in the EU, there are dangers that go along with us being members of the EU, being dragged into situations we don't want to get in.
And we'll look at how independence could transform Britain.
We have huge scope for creating vast numbers of new jobs.
Outside Europe, we could have prosperity on a level that we can't even imagine now.
We're being asked to give up the right to govern ourselves. What are we being offered in return that could possibly be worth it?
Just shows utter contempt for what they think people are like, because they really do believe that these little trinkets are going to buy us off. What really matters is that you should have the power to remove the people who govern you.
Well, there you have it. That's the opening couple of minutes of the full film that's called, full movie called Brexit. That's spelled B-R-E-X-I-T, British Exit. Brexit is the idea. Well, joining us now is Liz Peek. Liz has written about this. She had a very interesting take on an article that she wrote that says the title of the article is put this way, How a Ban on Tea Kettles Could Drive Britain to a Brexit. And she points out in that article how that sometimes very large movements begin because of very small events. In this particular case, someone dared to go after the British teapot. And when they did that, that became a symbol of all that was taking place. And from there, it kind of got us all the way now to where we're at today with this vote. Liz is a contributor to FoxNews.com. She's also writes for Fiscal Times. And you can check out all things Liz Peek out at her website, www.lizpeek.com. That's www.lizpeek.com. And you can also read this article that we're going to discuss out there as well. Liz, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Liz, it's showtime. Today's do or die for Britain, right?
Well, I don't think that Britain will die either way, but it is interesting how there is a sort of sense of anti-establishment revolt in the air in Great Britain, just as there is, I think, in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with bureaucrats running your lives. As you pointed out, in England, one of the things that got people kind of fired up was that the EU very stupidly decided that now was the best time to enact rules that had been sort of on the shelf governing small electric appliances, the energy efficiency issue, which, as you know, we've done here.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Brits were looking at their electric tea kettles, which are now banned.
Hmm.
And they kind of, you know, they kind of went berserk, not only tea kettles, but toast. And every English person in the world eats toast and tea every day. So all of a sudden, all those appliances were no longer legal, according to the so-called faceless bureaucrats in Brussels. But it's, as you point out, a token. And the issue raised in that video is exactly what the Leave people, the people who want to get out of the EU, are talking about. It's the fact that all these EU bureaucrats are micromanaging English lives to a degree that they find unacceptable. I mean, just to give you an idea, by far away, the majority of laws passed last year in Britain were not things that were conjured up by Parliament, but rather had been proposed and mandated by the EU. So it's a little bit like if we had some sort of trade union with Canada and Mexico and so forth, and some group in Costa Rica was telling us, you know, what to do with our lives. It's simply unacceptable to a lot of English.
And like you say, it touches their life on a daily basis, and that seems to be the point at which people start to care about what's taking place. For instance, you quote one of the, I think he's a member of the European Parliament, but he says, my toaster takes 4 attempts before bread goes brown, and I can put my Dundee marmalade on this. Many thanks to the EU. So on a daily basis, every day when he's trying to make his tea and his toast, he's reminded, you know, I have to go through this pain and suffering because of the EU. And when it gets to that level, then we find people on a local level, people across the board believing in a number of different things, but they say, you know, this is the moment where enough is enough. We got to do something about it.
Well, exactly. I draw the analogy to the 100-watt light bulb in our country,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, we all heard that they were changing, they were coming up with new lights and things that would last longer, more energy efficient, but all of a sudden it dawned on people that they weren't going to be allowed to buy 100-watt light bulbs, the light bulb that most of us have in most of our lamps across the country, and people went nuts. And sure enough, it had some reverberations or repercussions, and that in fact that law was deferred. So it's interesting to me, because what else is going on in England is there is profound distrust of what you might call the elite institutions, that is to say the I was looking at polling this morning of economists and the World Bank and political leaders and stuff in England, and no one trusts anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why, and why is that? Well, I think a lot of it goes back to the financial crisis. As Queen Elizabeth was quoted as saying, you know, why didn't they see it coming? I mean, if they're so smart and they really think they know what's best for England, how is it we got into such a mess in the first place? And I think that kind of thinking is not unusual now in Great Britain. You know, all the arguments for staying in the EU have to do with trade and financial issues, like what will happen to the currency and the stock market and whether banks will move out. You know, the average person probably isn't that fascinated by those topics. Rather, they're more interested in their toast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. When I was thinking about that 100-watt light bulb going, you know, how are you supposed to work one of those easy-bake ovens that came out years ago? It just doesn't work.
There you go.
It doesn't work with the new light bulb system.
No, of course not.
So these are major.
You know, and the other thing I think is, you know, it's a little bit like climate change. One of the reasons that people's back, some of them, are up about climate change is that the pronouncements on it, about it are always so dire. It's mm-hmm. not as though, you know, it's going to get gradually warmer. It's going to get so much warmer that all the cities in America are going to be flooded on a perennial basis.
Right.
And, you know, buildings will be collapsing into the sea. They always have this sort of cataclysmic response.
Yes.
And that's kind of how people have been talking about Brexit. It's like, oh, my gosh, our economy is going to shrink by 3.5%. The pound is going to collapse. There are people today lined up outside English banks taking out pounds because they're so worried. They want to translate them or exchange them for dollars and other currencies because they're so worried now that these pronouncements will come true. But on the other hand, there also is a pretty large skepticism group that is sort of saying, wait a minute, for one thing, no one even knows how it would happen. It would probably take years to actually be implemented.
Mm.
Is it really true that all these dire pronouncements will come true? Or is this the establishment basically voting for the status quo? Bureaucrats voting in their bureaucratic jobs, politicians guaranteeing politicians' jobs, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's quite a fascinating development, really.
You know, one of the items, and you tie it to this in your article, you say this, people are worried that jobs will be snapped up by what Brexit supporters call uncontrolled immigration. So there's an immigration issue again, and that's a big deal, of course, over in the EU. And today it's a big deal in the United States because we just got word that the Supreme Court voted against Barack Obama on the immigration issue that was before them. Yeah.
So, yep, I saw that. And, you know, I put out a piece yesterday saying, forget all the things you dislike about Trump. We all have reservations about this man. Here is the number one thing you need to think about, the Supreme Court, because if Hillary Clinton is elected president,
mm-hmm.
there is a very good chance that we go from a 5-4 right-leaning court, which is where we were before Scalia died, to a 7-2 liberal court that could be there for decades. And that is, to me, I mean, that is just a horrifying prospect, because that has been the only speed bump in the progressive agenda, and we saw it again today.
Hmm. Good point, and I think that point was made again when Donald Trump met with the evangelicals recently.
Yes, he did.
And one
That's
of the
right.
points there was that, in fact, they just put that in the news item a few moments ago, but one of the points there was that he stressed with them again that he would appoint a pro-life, which assumedly not just on that one issue, but a conservative judge
just,
to the court. And so that's one way to sway that vote, I would think.
Well, it isn't just that issue. If people really go back, in fact, again, I'm hawking my own piece here, but go back and look over the 7 years at the number of decisions that basically kept this out-of-control White House in check on labor law, religious freedom issues, environmental issues, et cetera. These are really big, important decisions. And thank heavens we've had a Supreme Court. Because, by the way, Congress didn't do much to support to stop Obama. The only real, again, the only check, the only speed bump was the Supreme Court. So, again, no matter what you think of Donald Trump, do not allow Hillary Clinton to become president.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the question right there. You know, we only have those two choices, basically.
That's exactly right. And don't kid yourself. That is the two choices.
Right. Let me ask you about making the transition then back here across the pond. We see what's taking place over there. Is this a harbinger of what's coming in November?
Well, who knows? But it is interesting to me that when Maggie Thatcher took office as Prime Minister in England and began the conservative revolution there, began to allow the business community to breathe again and kind of dumb down labor powers, etc., we followed with Ronald Reagan's election, of course, in 1980, I think it was 1980, and 2 years later. And so I don't know if England typically leads America, probably not. But in this case, it is interesting to me that, and to think that people here might be emboldened by an anti-establishment vote and outcome in the UK. And by the way, most of the betting right now is that they will vote to remain after all the is said and done. But if indeed it turns out the other way, I'm not sure Americans won't look at that and say, you know what, they could do it. Here's the most conservative, in to many people's way of thinking, most conservative nation on earth, and they just threw off the shackles of this faceless bureaucracy. You know, why don't we do something similar and kind of elect a guy who is not establishment, is not sanctioned by every elite in America, et cetera? Who knows? Maybe it could happen.
I guess that one of the things that will be interesting is what happens between the vote today and November. So if they vote to leave and there is an economic boom and there's a, you know, things that do improve significantly, which I don't know if they could that quickly in Britain, but if they did, obviously that would speak volumes to the idea that they made the right decision. If it all doesn't crumble, if they stay, that might speak volumes to people, right? So we need to, after the vote today, there's going to be this period of time, kind of a probationary period, to see what the ramifications of that are.
Yeah. By the way, it could be a very long time before anything changes in England because, in fact, no country has ever withdrawn from the EU. It isn't at all clear how that happens. Probably most near-term, the most near-term event would be whether David Cameron stays in office or whether there's a move to get him out of office if they vote to leave because he's been such an advocate for staying. But it could take months, if not years, actually to implement a withdrawal. So I don't think there will be – if a vote goes to leave, I think currency markets will take a hit, the stock market will take a hit, and then my guess is it will come back because I don't really think this is as profound a shaking of the empire as people are saying it will be. And here's why. One of the biggest arguments has been about trade. And England, in fact, runs a trade deficit with the EU. So who really some of the voices raised in favor of England staying seem to me to be more concerned about the EU than about England. So they also, by the way, run a trade deficit with the U.S. So when Obama says, well, you're going to be at the back of the queue, he actually threatened them, putting them back of the queue if they vote to leave. Guess what? We want England as a trade partner. We don't run a trade surplus with many nations. So it was kind of an idiot statement, frankly, and I don't know whether he had done his homework or whether he was just basically sort of, again, siding with the sort of establishment elites, which is kind of more likely. But I it's not clear, really, what the impact's going to be.
Cameron wants to stay, but the Queen wants to leave, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's the rumor. I'm not sure she's actually come out and said that quite that forcefully.
Okay. What sort of, from a financial standpoint, this is where you write, obviously, in your wheelhouse there. What sort of financial impact do you think it would have upon the United States? You've already alluded to the idea that, you know, it could affect stocks. I was reading this morning about oil sliding on the vote today because of some uncertainties and so forth. Do you anticipate any sort of a, you know, significant financial impact here in the States?
Not really. If the vote is to leave, yes, our stock market will have some volatility. It'll probably go down a little bit, but I don't think it's going to last because frankly, England is not that big. Now, if people begin to assume that England's withdrawal from the EU means the dissolution of the EU, that's a very different matter. Because collectively, this is a very, very big part of the world GDP. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I would not, as an investor, if I saw the market sell off 3 or 4%, I'd probably go in and buy.
Mm-hmm. But when you mentioned people, you know, going and taking pounds out of their bank there in Britain, is that should that be concerning to people at all, or is that just, you know, they're hedging their bet here and making sure that they're not all of a sudden gonna take a hit, that they probably will recover, like you said, but going to take a hit, and then they don't want to wait around for it to recover. They're going to take it out and protect it, and then see what happens and put it back in if they need to.
I would think that's right. Again, that's more of a currency issue.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the pound is actually in very good shape right now. It's traded back up close to recent highs. If there are people who think that a leave vote would mean that the pound trades down substantially. In currency markets, that means a swing of 5%, maybe a little bit more. And so what people are doing is sort of hedging their bets and converting some of their pounds. And I think there's just a general sense of anxiety in the country. That, again, the Treasury there has made this out to be such a cataclysmic event that I'm not surprised people are lining up outside their banks. And frankly, the Treasury and other spokespeople in the UK advocating stay should really be kind of ashamed of that, I think, because they've made it a really frightening event for people, and it shouldn't be.
No, I did read some articles that were saying it never should have came to this, they were surprised that Cameron allowed it to come to this. And as you could hear in the it's all the way to the point now, as you could hear in that little clip that I played, one of the individuals on there said, this is the most important decision of our lifetime. So, wow, they really, somebody misinterpreted or didn't quite understand the ramifications of what was taking place.
Well, I think that's correct. Now, let's face it, the EU experiment is decades old. England's been part of the EU for, you know, in any sort of meaningful way for, what, 30 years, something like that. And so for a lot of people in England, they've never known anything but. So I'm sure, and again, people have portrayed this as a very momentous event.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that it has been overplayed and maybe overplayed their hand as a result. Immigration, though, going back to that issue, is a very big deal.
Yeah.
And for, you know, one of the groups that's very much for staying in the EU is young people, because you probably have friends in England. We have friends in England. All their kids go elsewhere to work. I mean, historically, that's been an empire thing that sort of, so it was very traditional for your kids to go work in Europe or in Australia or someplace. But even today, because the job growth has been okay, not fabulous, a lot of people have gone to Asia, for example, from England. England's a very, very international country. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And so kids are worried that all of a sudden they're ability to float between the EU countries is going to be withdrawn. I really doubt it. I mean, you know, if you are a Swiss resident citizen or Norwegian resident, and by the way, that's another thing that we haven't talked about, but it's conceivable that England withdraws kind of partly from the EU, but still is part of their trade pack. Or remember, they don't have the euro. They don't use the euro. So they've always had 1 foot out of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
They could have 1.5 feet out of the camp. I mean, it's not clear that this is a black and white decision. They could end up like Norway, where they sort of buy into some of it and they don't. Now, the EU people may say, no, we're not going to allow you to do that because we don't want six other countries to decide that they want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll all be a negotiation.
Yeah, I would think it's all going to come down to they'll allow whatever is of a benefit to them in
that's
the
right.
EU, and that which isn't a benefit to them, then they're not, that's the piece they're not going to allow. Unfortunately, it comes down so often to such a pragmatic approach on many of these things. Liz, thanks so much for joining us again today and talking about this this issue. We'll know, I guess, by the end of today what the decision is.
We will. I'm going to be on Fox Business doing a special between 11 and 1.
Hmm.
I thought they meant 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., but bad news, it's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So tune in because we will have the results at that point, and it'll be very interesting.
Well, I'm sorry you're going to be up doing it at that hour of the night, but I would just say if it had been the other, we wouldn't have gotten you on the program today live. So if their loss is our gain. So
thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz, once again for your time and your expertise on these issues.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye-bye now. That was Liz Peek. As I mentioned, Liz is a contributor to Fox News, and she mentioned that she'll be on tonight. You can check that. If you're up watching the results and waiting for the final word here on which way this thing goes, you can get it there from Liz Peek. She'll also be posting articles about this out on her website. Her website is LizPeek.com. That's www.LizPeek.com. There's a mood in the West right now, an anti-establishment mood that is taking place, and I think part of that is good. We'll see what happens here as this vote takes place.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.